Welcome, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, sharing with you about the 3 weeks that we just completed in Europe. We shared yesterday about our seminars that we had at the Lutheran Church right down in the middle of Paris. You can still hear online yesterday's broadcast, which is very enlightening and gives you an idea of why Europe is so dark and why it stands in line for some judgments. But there are bright lights there. We went immediately from that church to a Philippine church, Church of the Good Shepherd. Pastor Bong, our hostess, was Babette Aquino. What a woman of God. From the Philippines, and the church that she attends is Philippine people who are the Philippines are the pearls of the Orient. And while we were there, we met a wonderful lady. Her name is Maria Tess. Maria Tess is very tall, about 6 feet and plus. A model, a beautiful model who came from the Philippines to the French high fashion industry. And she worked for Yves Saint Laurent, and she worked for another, other people you would know, Chloe. And but she's a born-again, sold-out, spirit-filled Christian. She was attacked in her body by cancer, endured 17 operations, but believed God and smiled through it all and became such a witness to that high-fashion world. She did receive. She's now cancer-free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And while she was recovering, once she was a... working with clay and molding things, and she became a fashion designer of jewelry. She's having an exposition at the Louvre coming up, but I said that to say this to you, and if you go on the webcast, you can see. She made for me some beautiful amber jewelry. You know that God had spoken to us about ambers. And how that they are a preservative, fossilized resin, and inside them are preserved things from the distant past, seed that can come up if planted, and how that God said that we believers are like amber to Him, containing marvelous seed that's going to come up in this hour. She made me a beautiful ring with a golden pearl and an amber. And those are the only two gems that are living organisms. All the rest of the gems are minerals. But Maria Tess made this beautiful jewelry for me, which reminded me, and I preached about it. I preached there in that Philippine church the revelation that had come through us through the vision of Brother Gene Wiseman. And I laid hands on the people in that church, and I'm telling you, we had a power going through us. I don't know when I've ever gotten hold of anything so powerful. It happened in two meetings while I was in France and while I was in Ireland. And I laid hands on everybody there. Maria Tess, the model I told you about, has a daughter. Very beautiful also. About 6 feet tall like her mother. And she, Maria Tess and Babette Aquino had been praying she would come to church. She would not come to church. She went to school. She's the one that told us that the young people in France hate the idea that there could be a God. So she would not go to church. But the Lord told me, when I prayed about someone to go with me, the Lord told me to have my granddaughter, Kwaitsie Brim, come, who lives in Owosso, Oklahoma. And Kwaitsie's recently had a real experience with God that tied back to earlier experiences that she'd had in prayer and the Holy Spirit. And so she went with me to do my hair. She can really fix hair really well, like her mother can. And so Kwaitsie went with us, and she just was reading the Bible and praying in the Holy Ghost. And Maria Tess's daughter, whose name is Natasha, they introduced Kwaitsie, my granddaughter, 19, to Natasha, 17. And Kwaitsie went over to the house and spent the night with her and invited her to church. The next day she came. And the day that we had that power of God, Kwaitsie said, "Mimi, you never laid hands on me." And such a power went through me as that. It went through the people. It knocked them. It knocked me. And it knocked Natasha, who came up in prayer. She sensed that power of God. It came on her, and she began to weep. And, of course, she was gloriously born again. So great and marvelous things are happening. We went from the Philippines directly to Ballymena, Northern Ireland. As you know, the Emerald Isle is divided into two parts. Northern Ireland is a part of Britain, Great Britain. Southern Ireland is its own republic. It's called the Republic of Ireland. And so we were in the north in the province of Ulster. Ulster, U-L-S-T-E-R, is the same as Northern Ireland. I did not know that. Now, I know the pastors there, Paul and Karen Brady. We've known them for some time. They even came over for my grandson Cody's wedding. They came all the way from Northern Ireland. So we went there, and Shelley and Bob, my daughter and son-in-law, had been going there, but I had not been there. And when I went there, I don't know. You know how sometimes you read the Bible and something is in there, and then you read that verse again, you see something you never saw? Folks, you know that for a long time we've been talking about awakenings, and we've been offering you the book Revival Fire by Wesley Duell, D-U-E-W-E-L, in which he tells about the great awakening that came to America, the great awakenings that have come. And then he tells about, there is a chapter called The Ulster Awakening. I didn't put two and two together. I didn't know that right in the very town of Ballymena, where Paul and Karen are, that a great awakening had taken place there in 1859 that just really was simultaneously happening with what happened here in the United States of America, just a little behind us. Now, I'm starting to read to you on page 128. When I got into my room in Ireland in this beautiful hotel they'd arranged for us to stay, they had some books. And one of them was Ireland's Lost Heritage by David Carnduff. And then when I talked to Paul and Karen about it, they said, yes, you know the book from Revival Fire. It tells about what happened here. I did not know that, but I'm going to read to you now from the book Revival Fire. There was a man named, now this is America. Here's what's happening in America. Page 128. Jeremiah Lampier ignites a flame. That's the head of this page in the book Revival Fire. A quiet, zealous 46-year-old businessman in New York was appointed on July 1st, 1857. Remember that date, 1857? As a missionary in downtown New York at the Dutch Church. Lampier felt led by God to start a noontime weekly prayer meeting in which business people could meet for prayer. Anyone could attend for a few minutes or for the entire hour. On the first day, September 23rd, 1857, Lampier prayed alone for half an hour. But by the end of the hour, six men from at least four denominational backgrounds joined him. The next Wednesday, there were 20. On October 7th, there were nearly 40. 1 week later, there were over 100. Within 1 month, prayer meetings, pastors who came to that meeting started prayer meetings in their own churches of all denominations. And all over New York City, prayer meetings began to happen. The meetings abounded with love for Christ. By March 19, a theater opened for prayer. Half an hour before it was time to begin, people were turned away. This is New York City. Hundreds stood outside in the streets because they could not get inside. By the end of March, over 6,000 people met daily in prayer gatherings in New York City. There were 150 united prayer meetings each day across Manhattan and Brooklyn. The public halls, the concert halls, the fire stations, houses, and tents, the whole city exuded a spirit of prayer. This spread all across America, Boston, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Richmond. And this brought about the Great Awakening of 1857 to 59. Of the 30 million people living in the United States, nearly 2 million were won to Christ during this revival. It is called the Fourth Great Awakening, a canopy of holy and awesome revival influence. In the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit seemed to hang like an invisible cloud over many parts of the U.S., especially over the eastern seaboard. At times, this cloud of God's presence even seemed to extend out to sea. Those on ships approaching the east coast at times felt a solemn holy influence, even 100 miles away, without even knowing what was happening in America. Revival began aboard one ship before it reached the coast. People on board began to feel the presence of God and a sense of their own sinfulness. The Holy Spirit convicted them and they began to pray. As the ship neared the harbor, the captain signaled, "Send a minister." Another small commercial ship arrived in port with the captain and every member of the crew converted in the last 150 miles. Ship after ship arrived with the same story. Both passengers and crew were suddenly convicted of sin and turned to Christ before they reached the American coast. Because of the bitter tensions of the Civil War and the slavery issue, people doubted it could reach the southern states, but it broke out in troops around Richmond, Virginia in 1861, spread through Tennessee and Arkansas. By the end of the war, at least 150,000 soldiers had been converted, and more than a third of all the southern troops had become praying men. The revival among the southern troops was primarily a revival of prayer. They estimate, the best estimates, that 6.6% of the entire population of the U.S. was converted during the revival. The percentage among the southern troops was 21%. Folks, I'm going to tie this in to what happened exactly at the same time in Ulster, Ireland, in Ballymena, where we were. You can get this book, Revival Fire, from us for $10. Just call 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And you can read about what happened, not only in the United States, but then what happened in Ireland, where we were, and I shall tell you about it tomorrow, and what's going to happen as a result of our trip to Ireland. I'll give you just a little head start. On the same day, in the same month that, actually, I know it's the same month, I'm not sure, the same day, that the man was praying, Jeremiah Lampier, who began to pray in New York City, on that same day, four young men began to pray in Kells, in Ireland, Northern Ireland, in Ulster Province, which is Northern Ireland. I went to the house they prayed in. When I scheduled this meeting coming up in Ireland, I had no idea what had happened there. I had no idea that I would have an opportunity to put two and two together and begin to make moves so that we can pray with Ireland for an awakening unto God. Shalom until tomorrow.